Well, today, once again, we are continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story, a series that's been taking us through the Bible. And so far, we have gotten through the entire Old Testament. And then last week, we kind of finished up the Gospels at the end of John. And so today, I'm excited because we're jumping into one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Acts. And it's an amazing book where we see the beginning of the church that we know of today, that we have become. And in Acts, it's where we see the early ministries of Peter and Paul and just some amazing things that happen in and through this book. And so I am so excited about it. But before we jump into Acts chapter 1 this morning, let me just give you just a little background on the book of Acts. For those that may not be aware of this, the book of Acts actually picks up where the book of Luke left off. It's Luke's second book. It's authored by Luke. And chapter 1, it gives us a glimpse of Jesus' final days here on this earth after the resurrection. In this section of scripture that we're going to read this morning, Jesus gives his disciples some final instructions before he ascends up into heaven. And so I encourage you to follow along with me as we're going to read Acts 1, verses 1 through 11 this morning. This is what it says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed him to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, as I mentioned that a few minutes ago, Acts here is after the resurrection. It's after Jesus rose from the dead. And Luke tells us here that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days before he ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. Now, we don't know all the things that he said or did with the disciples over these days, but we do know here that just shortly before he ascends, he gives them some very important instructions. In verse 4, he tells them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And so they're told to stay in Jerusalem, to wait for this gift that God was going to give to them. And that is really what I want to focus on this morning, this idea of waiting on the Lord. Many of us are in a period of waiting right now, right? You know, we're waiting for church to be able to come back together again. We're waiting for life to get back to some sort of normal, whatever that normal may be. And though I know many of us are not fans of waiting, the truth is, waiting on the Lord can be a very wonderful and beneficial thing in our lives. Because if you read on into Acts chapter 2, you will discover that what the disciples received, the gift that they received, was well worth the wait. And so this morning, I want to look at just this idea of waiting on the Lord and what we can learn from the disciples in these scriptures about waiting in these scriptures that we read this morning. And so the first thing that I saw in these scriptures, and the first thing that I think we can learn is this. Number one, sometimes waiting is all about obedience. It's all about obedience. Think about this. Why? Why were they waiting? It's because Jesus told them to, right? He gave them the command to go and to wait. And so that's why they waited. You see, I'm learning that the greatest attribute of a follower of Jesus, of a disciple of Jesus, is obedience. You see, in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations," right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We read that scripture actually last week, right? But what are we supposed to teach them? It says then in verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Everything I have commanded you, to obey it. We are called to obey His commands. We are called to walk in obedience. You see, they waited because Jesus told them to wait. He commanded them to wait. And obeying Jesus is what we as Christians are called to do. In verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And the thing we have to understand is that obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me say that again. Obedience, it opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because think about this. What if the disciples didn't do what Jesus told them to do? What if they didn't wait? What if they decided just to go out on their own? Well, they would have missed out on the amazing miracle that Acts chapter 2 talks about when the Holy Spirit fell on them and filled them with the power of the Spirit. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how often have we missed out on what God wanted to do in and through our lives because we failed to be obedient to the commands of the Lord? Because we failed to follow His will for our life and do what He told us to do. You see, obedience, it opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And we need to be willing to walk in obedience to the Lord regardless of what He may ask us to do. As I was studying this idea of obedience, I came across a little blurb on the obedience of Arabian horses. I want to read it to you this morning. It says this, "Arabian horses are trained rigorously in the Middle Eastern deserts. These horses must learn to fully obey their master for them and their master to survive. And so they deprive the horses of water for many days and then turn them loose near water to test their obedience. As the horses get to the edge of the water and just before they're about to drink from that water that is much needed to them, the trainer blows the whistle. If the horses have learned to obey instead of continuing and beginning to drink the water, then they'll turn around and come straight back to the trainer without taking a drink. And when they do that, the trainers reward them with all the water they want." You see, the trainer knows what his horses need, and they will not allow them to die of thirst, but they also know how important it is for their horses to learn obedience so that they and their horses will survive in the Middle Eastern deserts. And I think this is a great example of what's true in our lives. You see, God knows what we need. And He wants to give us more than we could ever hope or imagine. But we have to learn to trust in Him and walk in His obedience. If He's telling us to wait, then there's a reason that He's telling us to wait, and we have to trust in Him. We have to trust that He knows what's best for our lives. The disciples, they were obedient. And they waited because they knew that Jesus loved them. They had spent years with Jesus. They saw Him die and rise again, and they knew who He was. And so they were obedient and waited. And because they did, they experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their lives. So we need to remember that sometimes waiting is all about obedience. And we have to be willing to be obedient because God will test us in those times to see, are we trusting in Him? Are we listening and obeying? And then the second thing that I think we can learn from these scriptures about waiting is this. It equips us for the calling. You see, if they hadn't waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they would have never been ready to carry out this mission that Jesus had given them to go into all the world. Now, we have to be prepared for that mission. I think many of you know that I was a Marine. And even though I was fortunate enough to never actually go into a war situation, we constantly trained in case that time ever came. We trained to prepare ourselves in case we ever went to war. And the year that I spent in 3rd Recon Battalion in Okinawa with Recon, in that year we went on numerous mock missions, training and preparing in case we ever had to go out for real. And here's the thing, even in training, even as we prepared for these mock missions, we would never go out for a mission without being fully equipped with all the things that we needed. When we went out on these missions, we went out prepared for the task at hand, prepared for the mission that was given to us. And I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how often do we go out unprepared? Now, the truth is, most of us aren't good at waiting. We're impatient people. And oftentimes, because of that, we end up getting out ahead of God, unequipped and unprepared for what He has for us to do, for the task at hand. You see, God doesn't ask us to wait at times because He's wanting to torture us. He asks us to wait because He wants to equip us with all the tools that we need to accomplish all the things that He's calling us to do. He wants to make sure that He is going before us. You see, Jesus knew that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish His will. And the reality is, God knows what we need to accomplish His will in our life. He knows when it's time for us to wait. And He knows when it's time for us to get off our rear and go. And it's in that time of waiting that He strengthens us and prepares us and equips us for what lies ahead. And if we don't wait, and if we don't allow God to prepare us, then we will be ill-equipped for the task. We won't be ready for what we may face. And we won't be prepared to accomplish the calling that He has on our lives. And so the question is, do we trust in the Lord? Do we believe that His timing is always the right timing? And do we believe that, these times of waiting are His will and His desire for our lives? Because I believe it's in these times that He equips us for the calling He has for us, for each of us. That calling to go and to make a difference in the world around us. Amen? And then the last thing, the final thing that I think we can learn from these scriptures when it comes to waiting on the Lord is this. God's will is always better than ours. His will is always going to be better than our will. You see, a lot of times we think that we know what's best for our life. We think we know when we should go, when we shouldn't go. But the reality is we don't. When you think about our human nature, the fact is we're impatient. We're always looking for the shortcut, right? But the problem is those shortcuts often cause more problems than anything else. We've seen it time and time again throughout the scriptures. We've seen it as we've walked through the Bible, story after story, where people of God try to take shortcuts to getting what He already has planned for their lives. People of God trying to do it their way, and they end up coming up short. You know, a great example of this in the scriptures is Abraham and Sarah. God had told Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Man, what a great promise, right? As numerous as the stars. That's a lot of offspring. But here's the thing. For Abraham, there was one problem. He didn't have any kids. And him and Sarah, his wife, they were no spring chickens, right? They were getting up there in age. And I mean up there in age. So what did they do? They ended up taking things into their own hands. Instead of waiting on the Lord, they took a little shortcut and tried to do things their way. Sarah actually had Abraham sleep with his maidservant, believing that then that child could be this offspring. And that shortcut brought about all sorts of issues. You can actually read more about that story in Genesis chapter 16, where you'll find that it brought nothing but problems as you go throughout the scriptures there. And the thing is, that if they would have only waited, if they would have trusted in the Lord, because a few years later, God began to fulfill His promise to Abraham in His way, in the way that He originally had planned. Sarah, she became pregnant at the age of 99. Can you believe that? I can't even imagine being pregnant at the age of 99. And at the age of 99, gave birth to Isaac. And it was through him that Abraham became the father of many nations. As Isaac had sons, and Jacob had many sons, and many sons had father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, right? Let's just sing along. Right arm, left arm, sorry. I always get into those old Sunday school songs. But you know it. Many sons. God answered his prayer. But here's the thing. They could have saved themselves a lot of pain and heartache if they would have just waited on the Lord and His will and His timing. If they would have trusted His plan for their life instead of trying to do it on their own. And I guess the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this. How much heartache and pain have we experienced in our lives because we failed to wait on the Lord? Because we tried to take that shortcut and do things our way, which just led to more problems and more difficulties. See, we have to understand that taking shortcuts and doing things our way and getting ahead of the Lord will never accomplish His will in our lives. It'll never accomplish the will of God. And again, God doesn't ask us to wait because He wants to torture us. He asks us to wait at times because He knows what's best for us. His timing is always right, not ours. And he's wanting us to wait and to hold out for him, for his will and his desire for our lives. And when we're obedient to him and his call to wait, it's then that we experience those things that are better than we could ever have hoped or imagined on our own. That this call for us to wait on the Lord, it's for our own good, right? It's like I said a few weeks ago when my dad was taking the splinter out of my foot. It's for your own good. You got to get this thing out. It's going to get infected. It's for your own good, right? You remember that story? It's for our own good. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 40:31. I love this scripture. It says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound amazing? How many times when we do it on our own do we get tired and weary? This idea of waiting, it's about obedience. It's about being equipped by the Lord. It's about seeing God's good and perfect will accomplished in and through our lives. But let me finish with this. This idea of waiting in these scriptures doesn't mean we just sit around twiddling our thumbs. Oh, I'm just waiting on God. A lot of us do that, right? Oh, I'm waiting on God. Nothing else to do. I'm waiting on him. It doesn't mean just twiddling our thumbs. This idea of waiting here in these scriptures is this idea of expecting with hope. Expecting with hope. I always say this, you can't steer a parked car, right? Yes, we wait, but we're moving and we're seeking the Lord and we're looking for what he wants us to do so that as we're moving, he can direct us to where he wants us to go. And it's with this expectation of what he wants us to do. This idea of waiting here in these scriptures is this idea of great expectation of this gift that God was going to give to them so that they could do great things. Have you ever been excited about a gift? I think most of us have been excited about gifts. I know most of us when we were little at Christmas, man, we couldn't wait to open gifts. I remember I couldn't even fall asleep on Christmas Eve. I was so excited about what gifts were going to be there in the morning from Santa Claus, right? I was so excited to open those gifts to see what I had gotten. Or on your birthday, when your birthday comes around and you know you've got gifts, there's just this excitement and this expectation of what you're going to open, what you're going to experience, these gifts that you're going to receive. I think this is how it was and what it might have felt like for the disciples as they waited for this gift that Jesus had talked about. And I'm guessing that they went and they waited with great anticipation, probably spending time just praising the Lord, praying and seeking him. And this is the kind of waiting that we're talking about here. It's an active kind of waiting where we keep seeking the Lord. We keep moving and with great faith and expectation, we're anticipating what God wants to do in and through us as he's moving in our lives. It's knowing that God is at work in us and that he will help us become who he's called us to be. The disciples were waiting on this gift that Jesus had promised them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you see, here's the thing. That's not what we're waiting on. We have the Holy Spirit. When we ask Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. When we say yes to Jesus, we have the Spirit. We're not waiting on the Spirit. As a matter of fact, it's the Holy Spirit that actually will help us discern when we should be waiting, when we should be going, where we should be going, how we move, what we do, so that we can faithfully carry out the mission that God has for us. You see, the disciples, they had no idea what was about to happen in their lives and in the life of the church. And I think the truth is, either do we. In these times we find ourselves in right now, that they seem crazy and they seem chaotic. But God is still at work. He is moving in lives. He is challenging us to draw closer to Him, to trust Him in these days like never before. He's encouraging us to continue to walk in obedience, to continue to follow His commands. He's encouraging us to be strengthened and equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit and to allow Him to accomplish His will in and through our lives. Acts was the beginning of the church. And we today are the continuation of that church. The church is us. It's the people. It's not a building. We are the church. And whether we're meeting together in a building or whether we're meeting online, it doesn't matter. The calling is the same. That we would be His witnesses. That we would go into all the world making disciples. And so we wait upon the Lord for those opportunities that He has for us. But then we move and act upon these opportunities when they do arise. And let me tell you, they will arise. And in those times, we let His love shine through us. We pour out His love and His compassion to those around us. That's what the early church did here in Acts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we are called to continue to do today. Did I just say to do? That we are called to continue to do today. Why does that sound so weird? That's God's calling upon our life. Let's just say it that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your hand upon our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the early church. Lord, it started here in Acts. Men and women of God beginning to live the lives that You called them to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, going out into the world and being Your witnesses. And Lord, we continue to be the church today. And so, Lord, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the encouragement of the disciples. We thank You for how You speak to us today through Your word. And Lord, we want to be people who walk in obedience. We want to be people who are continually being equipped for the work that You have for us. We want to be people who seek Your will, not our own, Lord. And so we give these things to You this morning. And we just pray that Lord, wherever we're at today, that You would just allow that specific word that You need to speak to us in this moment, in this time, that we would allow You to speak that to us, Lord, that we would be challenged by Your words, challenged to go, challenged to be and to live the lives that You desire us to live, Lord. And so we thank You for this word. We thank You for what You're doing in and through our church, Lord. Even though we aren't gathering, Lord, You are moving in mighty ways through Your church, through the people of Your church, Lord. And so we thank You for that. And we just pray that You would continue to move in and through us, Lord. That we would continue to be lights that shine bright for You to extend Your kingdom. Because that's what it's about, Lord. And so help us follow Your commands. Help us to listen, to hear Your voice, to know when to wait, when to just seek You and keep pressing into You, and then when to go, Lord, that we would respond to Your words. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for this word, Lord. May it challenge us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.